to the Golden Hills Podcast, where our church leaders have conversations to encourage and equip you in topics surrounding culture, theology, and the kingdom of God. Now, here's today's show.
Welcome to the Golden Hills Podcast. I'm Vinny. We're going to be continuing in our series on life, and today we have the treat of listening to an interview that Natalie did with Dave and Sue Bowers as they describe their experience in the childcare system, something that is very important to how we view life. Life does not just involve the unborn, but also the born as well. So sit back and enjoy this episode on foster care.
So you guys might remember Dave and Sue from episode 3 of our podcast, and we have the privilege of sitting down with them again. So welcome, Dave and Sue.
Thank you, Natalie.
Glad to be back.
Today we are going to be talking about foster care, and I know both of you are involved in foster care in various ways, whether that's through a once-a-year camp or a child in your home or through just watching a child for over a weekend. So I wanted to know if, Dave, you could just kind of explain to us, what does this word or term mean, foster care?
I think the best way to look at it is to go to James 1:27 about caring for the orphan and the widow. And today's modern, we don't technically have orphans, if you will, in our country anymore because of the foster care system. But our foster kids are the modern day orphan in the Western world. So,
can you just, for someone who doesn't, I think we all know a foster kid or someone who's in the system or been in the system, but for someone who doesn't know what that looks like, what does it look like for a kid to be in the foster system?
Who are our kids? They oftentimes come from neglect. They can come from multiple different varieties of abuse. Some have come who've been in multiple different homes. The goal always is for parents to be reunified with their children. So throughout the court process, wherever that leads, some of the kids may be in long-term placements. Others may be in shorter placements. Mm-hmm. Kids come with a variety of behaviors. Kids coming with traumatic behaviors. Other kids coming with mental health issues, typically seen from neglect. And as I said, there's about 1,200 kids in our county alone who are currently in the foster care system. For many, they're your neighbors and you don't know it.
Yeah.
For many others, they are kids who have been labeled in school system, especially as the kids get older. They carry a label of foster child with them. And many coming with difficulty because of neglect and abuse where they maybe have gotten the resources, but imagine being 9 years old and bounced into 14 different homes. These kids come with just traumatic different issues that they have to deal with.
How did you guys get involved in foster care? Like, when did that start? I mean, I know the Lord, but beyond the prompting of the Holy Spirit, how did that come about for you guys?
No, you go ahead.
We know
the Lord got Sue involved, and then
Sue
through the Lord got Dave involved. So
we'd always talked about fostering as younger marrieds and never really pursued it. And about 12 years ago, a very dear friend of mine went to a Women of Faith conference and came back and shared with me that she said, oh, you're never going to believe this. They need female counselors to go to this camp. And since you love teenagers, you need to go. And I told her, wait a minute, I didn't go to the conference, you went, and I'm not going unless you go with me. So we both ended up going as nurses to this camp. It was Royal Family Kids Camp. And I had no idea the severity of the numbers of children in foster care in our county until going to this camp. I was broken. And my very first encounter ever with a foster child was with an 11-year-old little blonde girl who I boarded the bus, asked her if I could sit with her, and she politely folded her arms and she cocked her head and she said, how would you feel if you weren't wanted? And that broke me in my spirit. And from then on, I came home from camp, just very different outlook on fostering and children. And I told Dave, you're coming with me next year. And here we are all these years later.
So I know you mentioned Royal Families, and for those of you that don't know, that's a ministry that our church, Golden Hills, partners with. And I know you guys are involved in a handful of other ministries that support and serve these children. But I wanted to know if, Dave, you could just let us know and explain, what are the ways that the church supports Royal Families specifically?
Without the church, we wouldn't have camp. That's one of the requirements. Royal Family is a national or international organization now, and we're required to be, attached to a church. And they have supported us from day one. Most recently, they've supported us financially. They support us with space because we have need for large rooms and lots of training and events that we're doing. We have a monthly club and mentoring that happens here that they've been gracious to provide the space and the room for our campers. And, this is the place we launch camp from every year. And this is the place where kids come back from camp too. And so we're exposing families and foster families and bio families to church in a really healthy way. And, and just the support and the prayer in particular has been huge for us.
That's awesome. Now, a couple of the other ministries you guys are either firsthand involved in or you support as well are Safe Refuge, foster parents. You guys are foster parents as well. I know one of your daughters is a foster parent, and also CASA, which is Court Appointed Special Advocates. Can you, both of you, just go over briefly what each one of those looks like?
Sure. I'll take the Safe Refuge because I actually work for Safe Refuge. That's my career at this point. I'm the outreach coordinator, and I work with local churches that identify families that want to care for kids of moms that are in crisis. It's the preventative side. It's to keep kids out of the system. There's too many kids going into foster care because once a child enters, it's very difficult for them to come back out. It's a long process and a difficult process for the children and the parents. And so our hope is to give moms a space, and dads too. But like I've shared, in a little over four years, we've spoken to four fathers. Yeah. So our calls are coming from moms in crisis. It could be domestic violence, medical issues, short jail sentences, addiction. And just to give them space so that they can work on some goals and get things back on track so that their kids don't end up in the system. Allow them to breathe a little bit.
Okay, so this would be a child who has a mom, or they're in the care of a grandparent, and like you said, the mom just needs to get her driver's license.
It could be that. We do a lot of work with Shepherd's Gate, as an example, a local ministry that most people know. It's a shelter for women and their children. And we have moms that are in school. It's a year-long program. And so we've got moms who will host their kids for a weekend from Friday through Sunday so mom can get caught up writing her papers and get homework done. So she can, when she's done with her program, she can hit, the street with, running and ready to go. And we've helped moms that have to have they're having a second baby and there's nobody to take care of their first child because they don't have family or they don't have church. And so we'll take care of the child when mom's delivering the next child. Things like that.
Yeah. I like what you said, preventative, like we both are needed. I know when my husband and I were considering how do we jump in? Like, how do we get involved? And it's like, just the answer is yes to everything. There's a need for everything. So there is no wrong, whether you're helping at the camp, wherever you're supporting, they're all needed.
And absolutely.
Sue, can you just tell us a little bit about Royal Families?
Yes, Royal Family Kids Camp is a camp designed to take children for 1 week to camp, which we go typically in June, who are actively in the foster care system. And we have taken from 40 to 51 kids. Our goal every year is to take 40, but as social workers start referring kids, we've stretched to our maximum at 51. We usually take anywhere, as I said, between 40 and 50 kids. We have a staff of anywhere from 85 to 100 people who come to serve with us for the full week. And we typically say we come vacation with a purpose. And the purpose is we love and breathe Jesus into these kids for a week. So typically, what does camp look like? On Monday, the kids come. Many are scared to death. They've never been on a bus. We hire and charter one of the big ritzy buses that have a TV and a bathroom, and a lot of kids have never even been on a bus, so that's a treat for them. We roll out a red carpet and welcome them onto the bus. And it's about a 2.5 hour ride from here to the camp that we go to. And as we pull in, they're met with 100 staff and people, in addition to staff from the camp, with signs for each child who's been given a sign with their name on it. And they're welcomed off the bus as a red carpet is rolled out for them. It's a absolutely tear fest at that point, just to see the love in the kids' eyes, the welcoming, knowing that they're wanted. And you'll see the kids point and they'll say, "They made that sign for me." And so we welcome them, and they come off the bus. We get acclimated. That's on Monday. They get used to the camp. On Tuesday, we have an all-day birthday party for the kids. Many of the kids come, and they've never had a birthday. They've never been given a birthday card. They've never received a gift. Some
don't know their birthdays.
Don't know their birth date. And my first year I went, I thought, that can't be. And they warn you, don't ask when their birth date is. And I didn't listen, and I asked a young girl when her birthday was, and she said, "I don't know. I think it's in July." We've had a kid 2 years ago who'd never received a birthday card and was in tears that somebody took the time to write out a birthday message to this kid.
Yeah.
That usually ends up, the day is celebrated. We end up with a birthday party. We partner with another church who comes and does our birthday party for us. They take over the event. They decorate. Each child gets their own birthday cake or cupcake. And they have gifts and games. And it's just a tremendous day of celebrating the kids.
Yeah, my sister and brother-in-law and father-in-law.
We're all there last year.
And I know, I mean, my brother-in-law is a big, big dude. And he didn't. Yeah, you can't.
He cried.
You can't help but cry when you see just the joy in that they feel seen, heard, loved, belonged, cared
for.
You.
Yes. Yeah. Tuesday's a very special day, and the kids, I think, forever remember that moment because it's just you hear laughter, and that's something that's missing from so many of the kids.
Just being a kid.
So Wednesday is our family day. We have a day just pretty much of swimming. Their favorite activity through the week, if they could, would be swimming 24/7 if they could. So we have a family day, and that includes a picnic and a barbecue, and we just sit and hang out with the kids. It's frisbee, it's softball, running back and forth, whatever.
Explain who the family is.
We bring with us a grandma and grandpa. We have a couple from church that comes as grandma and grandpa. We have an aunt and uncle that we bring. And we have had the role of brother and sister in the past as well that come. Mm-hmm. We even have a camp dog. So these kids have everybody at camp. Yeah,
giving them the stability for a week. Mm-hmm. Of what would that look like
what
if I had?
What does like? Yes. And so Thursday then comes, and Thursday is another special day set apart for the kids. For the girls, it's typically a tea party where the
princess tea party,
princess
that's the important
party.
Part.
Given the opportunity, if they want to, some girls have chosen not to dress. We had a partner outside who does sewing, asked if they could make princess dresses for all the girls 2 years ago. And this group of ladies donated their time and their resources and made princess dresses for 25 young ladies. They're beautiful dresses. They put on gowns and gloves and tiaras. They have their hair and makeup done. We have music. They're escorted in by the king. Red
Who's
carpets
the king?
Rolled out.
It depends on the year.
Most often it's been Dave in the past.
I thought so.
And you can just physically see, not that it's anything about the dress, but they feel important and they feel loved. You can see that in the girls. And so that also ends in a dance party at the end of the event. The boys have a different event. This year we had a race car driving event for the boys where they're given. Cool. They were donated by somebody. Each of the boys got their own remote control monster truck, and they did a race derby, and that's what the boys did for their event. And then comes the hated day of Friday, and we see some behaviors Thursday night. Kids know they have to go home.
Don't forget the variety show. That's huge.
Thursday night, backing up, is the variety show. The kids get to sign up, and they get to do anything and everything. And some of the kids thinking they have nothing to offer. And there was a young man who I had asked him what he was going to do for the show, and he said, nothing, I don't have any talent, because he equated that to a talent show. And I said, of course you do. He is flipping a Frisbee on his finger, spinning a Frisbee. And he said, you mean that's a talent? And I said, absolutely, I can't do that. So he signed up, and he had a grin from ear to ear about being able to do this Frisbee on stage. And it's just a time where the kids can, again, be celebrated. Some sing, some dance, some drink water. And it's a cheering section for all of us with the kids, just to celebrate them that they can do. They can do.
Yeah.
And because they're told they can't, or they're told so many negative things. And this is a time really where the kids can shine. Yeah, so then move forward to Friday. We get up. The kids know that they're going home. We may see some behaviors, but for the most part, we don't. The bus comes about 1 o'clock. We have lunch. We have to go home and release the kids to their caregivers. Mm-hmm. And because we have the mentoring program, there's an opportunity then at that point for the kids to stay connected to their counselors and or staff members throughout the year, which is really
cool.
That's
awesome. Yeah. They can extend that.
Two points. Number one, the kids also go home with a camp DVD and a personalized photo album with multiple photos that have been taken of them all week long. And then also the kids that we take to camp are between the ages of 6 and 11.
Yeah. As you guys can see, this is a has a huge impact on the child, and that is why Golden Hills chose to partner with this amazing ministry. Dave, can you just touch on what it means to be a foster parent, just from your firsthand perspective?
What it means or how difficult it is?
Like both.
I mean, I think what it means is just, again, and we have to look at this from a biblical perspective, because of this podcast, because in the church, this goes back to hospitality for us and for Sue and I and for our family. It simply is, you know, saying, okay, God, you're calling us to do this. We want to be obedient. We've fostered littles, and now we have a team. And I've been challenged by both of them. My wife is the more gracious one, if you will. But it's hard work. It's messy. I'm not going to tell anybody it goes into being a safe refuge family or a foster family or anything in between that it's easy, because it isn't. But it's also extremely rewarding, you know, amidst the challenges and the difficulties and the behaviors and just being able to love kids where they're at. So,
yeah. And Sue, can you touch on what CASA, and again, that stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates. What does that mean?
Yes. Just briefly, for what I know about that, they have specialized training that they have to go to. They're only given one child, and they are the court spokesperson for this child to advocate for what's in their best interest.
Wow. And that's just anyone can do that over the age of 18?
Yes, okay. Over age of 18, and you have to apply through whatever county that you live in for that designation.
And there's a huge need for them, a huge need.
Yeah, I think I know someone in our church who does that, so that's awesome.
I want to speak, if I can, for a minute, just to kind of a blessing through Safe Refuge, the other ministry. There's something very sweet about having kids in your home, and you know they're there only possibly for a weekend. But to be able to pour into them for whatever's going on in the weekend, let's say, and have the kids come back and say to you when they see you in a grocery store, I remember you. I remember we stayed at your house. Thank you for having us. And all these years later, to still see these kids as they grow up and to know that they're okay. There's a huge blessing in that, to be able to do that through Safe Refuge.
Yeah. Speaking of Safe Refuge, my husband and I just got our final email today that we are officially ministry partners and certified. And just before we pushed record, I was laughing about God's timing that we just got an email about two twins that needed placement just for a week.
You are officially a host family.
Yes. So I just shot Cole a text like, read this email. So as I'm obviously nervous and apprehensive and hopeful, but also, like you said, want to have that real perspective of we're welcoming someone in mm-hmm. who has mess, and we have mess, and ministry is messy. What are some just words of encouragement, tips, stories, just something you can pass on to those that are just getting their feet wet in this process?
Go in with no expectations would be about the best thing I could say, because I think every scenario is different. You could host the same child multiple times and have different behaviors based upon whatever crisis is going on in their life at that point in time. And so I think it's just important to go in knowing that God has appointed you mm-hmm. and Cole and your boys to open up your home and love this child or these children for the season. It could be a night, it could be a weekend, it could be 30 days, whatever that looks like. And to be okay releasing that child or those children back to mom when the hosting is over. That sometimes is the biggest challenge, knowing that, hey, you know what? They may be going back to sleeping in an apartment with no furnishing, or they may be going back to sleeping in the car, or whatever it might be. It can be difficult, but just knowing that God has appointed you for that season, for that time.
And remember, you're not there to fix them. Mm-hmm. You're there to be Jesus. You're not there to fix them.
Yeah. Throughout this process, my husband and I have been reading a book. It's called Adoption by Russell Moore, and in it he talks about how we all have skin in the game of adoption, that we all have a stake in it, that for some of us that might look like safe refuge, then maybe foster care, maybe adoption. It might look like you're balance on your bank account being a little bit different if you're supporting a family or supporting someone who is in this ministry. It might look like prayer, might look like dropping off a box of diapers when your mm-hmm. girlfriend texts mm-hmm. you that she just got a baby from the hospital. She only has him for a week, but we can love her through that. And I just love how he points out that the call is for all the saints, mm-hmm. not just the ones that have the big home and have Absolutely. The extra bedroom and have their lives together. So they surely can bring someone in, because you can't bring someone if you're a mess, you know? So I love how that picture that we're all called to be involved in some way. And that looks different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Let me share a story, because we moved through the royal family thing, but one of the most impactful things in my life, and some of the people that listen to this may have heard this before, but my very first camp, I was a camp uncle, but I was also in the drama, so I was the king in the play that year. And I realized when they were having the princess tea party that if you're having a princess tea party, the king needs to make an appearance. So I put my costume on, I showed up at the princess tea party, and I had it set up with one of our staff to put some music on when I was ready. And I called a little girl up, her name was Mignon, and she had come from the Richmond Rescue Mission that year. And I called her up to dance with me. And we got set up like we were going to do, you know, a formal ballroom dance like a princess and a king would do. Mm-hmm. And they put on some, you know, hip-hop music. And I busted out my really bad old white guy moves. And she didn't miss a beat. And we had a lot of fun with it. We laughed and everybody was entertained. But that night, her counselor actually attends our church and was with her that night. And Mignon wouldn't stop crying. And counselor kept asking her, Mignon, what's wrong? She says, I just don't understand. She says, but Mignon, what's wrong? She says, I don't understand. She says, but Mignon, I can't help you mm-hmm. if you don't tell me what you don't understand. And she says, he picked me. Nobody's ever picked me before. Mm-hmm. And it was at that moment that I knew I was a lifer at Royal Family Kids. And I think that was like day two at camp, you know. And it was just one of those moments where you're, and I've got three daughters, and you know, at the time I had a couple of granddaughters, and it rocked my world, you know, that, you know, here's this 10-year-old girl, and nobody's ever wanted her before. That was her perception. And to be able to give that week for them is huge.
Yeah. And I know foster care, it's whether it's safe refuge or just camp for the week, it's heavy. Mm-hmm. It's scary. It kind of wrecks you is what you're describing. And what's the hope behind all this?
The hope is to give them hope. Hmm. You know, one of the hostings we did for Safe Refuge was three boys. Mom was having a surgery. We had them for 2 weeks, and I'll never forget the first night. Sue's tucking them in. She says, can I pray for your mom? Yeah. She prays. Second night, can I pray for your mom? Yeah. Third night, they go, Miss Sue, can we pray for mom too? And just being able to plant those seeds and, you know, not in a like beating them over the head with the gospel, but just loving them, you know, and just in providing them some hope. And I think at the end of the day, that's the hope. Our kids need families that can give them hope. And that's the church's call.
Yeah. And our hope is Christ.
Yeah.
That pointing them
you know, we need healthy families to love these kids, whether it's the foster care side or the preventative side.
Yeah. So from that being said, what is something that someone listening can do now? Like, what can you do today?
First thing is to be praying for the kids who are in foster care and or in crisis in our county, to be praying for ministries that minister to kids. Young adults are not too young to come step in and to help in ministries. There are things that they can do. There are places where they can serve. Writing letters for our campers is a huge thing. That's something many people, whether you're young or old, can get involved in doing. Mm-hmm. Love a Child Ministries in Pittsburgh. Step in and help and go take laundry soap over there to that ministry. Those are moms who need help with caring for kids there.
We have a Shepherd's Gate in Brentwood. People can serve there. There's plenty of ways. And in our camp staff, we take kids all the way from 15 and a half to us old people. We have people in their 70s serving with us and everything in between. So there's plenty of opportunities.
That's awesome. And we'll link all of these resources in the show notes if you are interested in getting involved. And I know I was just talking to one of my girlfriends who just had a baby, and she knows my husband and I are going through the Safe Refuge process. And she's like, well, you know, I can't do that. I just had a baby. And it's like, you don't need to live out someone else's calling. You right. can just, like you said, first start with prayer. And
absolutely.
You might be in the Kairos ministry. You might be wheelchair bound. But like the book was mentioning, that scripture says is that we all have that call to take part in the ministry of loving on these orphans. Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today, and it was a pleasure and a privilege to sit and talk with you.
We're honored to be here and humbled.
Thank you so much for having us.
We hope today's episode was a blessing to you. Please make sure to subscribe to the Golden Hills Podcast in your favorite podcast app like Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts. And of course, you can always find us on the web at www.goldenhills.org.